Well, thank you guys all for coming today. For those of you that know me, I can tell a few stories about the last two words here in my title in China. But one of them I'd like to tell you is about this research that I got involved in looking at a fungal soil pathogen of cucumber. So what we have is a cucumber system. It's in a hoop house. As you can see here, this is the control plot. So we had two treatments in this study. We had control and we had a fumigation treatment. This control plot, cucumber, it suffers from this serious pathogen. I'll show some numbers about its disease incidence and yield here soon. But it's characterized by wilt and ultimately low yield. The fumigation treatment is quite interesting. It was based off of fumigation with anhydrous ammonia. I'll show a few slides on the methods here soon, but this fumigation with anhydrous ammonia, as you can see here, has it's reduced the presence of the disease, its effect on the crop, and leads to good yield. So what I have here is these two treatments, and I tried to address some concerns in microbial ecology by using a time series and with replication included in that time series. So I had these two treatments, control and anhydrous ammonia fumigation. The control, for further reference, I'll call that not fumigated, and then I have a fumigated treatment. So I had these two treatments and then three replicates of each of these treatments throughout a time series. This anhydrous ammonia for fumigation, anhydrous ammonia, it's not a common fumigant. It's been considered in some studies looking at alternatives to methyl bromide, but it has long been recognized. This is a book from 1890s that recognizes the disinfection antimicrobial capabilities of anhydrous ammonia. And today we see this applied in cases such as like pink slime, which is a popular culture reference that some people might be familiar with, where you have fumigation of potentially microbial-ridden material with anhydrous ammonia. And so this is a treatment that we apply to the soil by covering it in a hoop house with plastic, a plastic barrier, and then it's piped into the soil and allowed to vent into the soil for 20 days. So this is a 20-day fumigation with anhydrous ammonia coupled with solarization. So there's a high temperature and ammonia at high concentrations within these soils. Also, as I mentioned, we sampled in a time series. And so what you have here is you have your fumigated treatment and your not fumigated treatment, as I mentioned, two treatments. And then we have a day zero. This is post-fumigation. So it's important, I guess, as you look at this slide to understand sort of the what I have here is immediately following fumigation, we have soil samples taken in triplicate from each of these treatments. We have 1 week and 3 weeks post-fumigation. So this is just bare soil. Nothing is growing at this point. And on day 46, a significant event is where we planted cucumber and we sampled post-planting of the cucumber, that soil there. Then there's 2 weeks post-planting, and then we have two harvest times here. So this data architecture is going to be important for understanding the results that I show later. From this, we did 16S rDNA sequencing, also ITS to look at fungal communities, and we had some soil analyses and field observations that were coupled with this to develop this picture that I'm about to show you. So some quick methods slide. I don't want to spend a lot of time. For those of you that are interested in sequence analysis, I have some details here. I used USearch before USearch was particularly popular. Since then, Chime's now integrated this, but I use this from the command line. And you can see some graphics down here in the bottom left-hand side of the slide that it, you know, now it's widely known that it has better OTU assignments to the sequences that you get from your sequencing of your soil DNA. I used a chime for the rest of the analysis until I had taxonomy assigned and a phylogenetic tree calculated, in which case I moved to R and I used PhyloSeq, the PhyloSeq package, and a unique package called dSeq2 for mainly testing significance. So this is a package that tests significant differences between count data, which was originally developed for other kinds of count data, and has broad application in sequence analysis. So those are some main tools that I used. So we'll be looking at 16S rDNA and ITS sequences. I didn't do total higher order analyses, but I did something that was a little bit unique, I think, and I cut right to what was able to be assigned down to the species level in the case of bacteria, and in the genus level in the case of bacteria, and species level in the case of fungi. So when we start looking now at at my questions, this was an ecology related question of we have a pathogen that's impacting a crop, and there's a fumigation treatment, and the pathogen appears to be controlled after fumigation, and the question is, what kinds of microbial communities are related to this control? What kind of communities are related to the beneficial growth of the plant? And you can imagine, after a fumigation event, what kinds of communities are related to the recolonization of that soil? These are all related to my hypotheses and objectives. We're looking for reduction. We're looking for communities responding, and who these players are and what their functions might be. So the first key finding from this this experimental design was that there is a decrease in disease incidence and an increase in yield with fumigation. To understand what we saw here, I think it's important to note that there are some environmental factors that are playing into this and adding to the effect of the fumigation on microbial communities that we'll see later. So this is something to keep in mind. This is the data architecture that I asked you to pay attention to. So this is beginning day 0, day 7, 46, 61, and 92. And for your convenience, I've added these icons to help you sort of place what's going on in at these time points. So at day 0, this is post-fumigation, and this was done in August, so the temperature is quite high. In this particular region, this was in Nanjing, actually it was in Jinhua of Zhejiang province, and the temperature is quite high in August, and it's high throughout the degassing period after fumigation until planting at day 46. And from planting to harvest, the temperature gradually cools. And at harvest time, you'll see some effects in microbial communities related to that. Also, this is related. I did 2 years of this study. This particular presentation will focus on the first year, looking at this time series. But there are some effects of soil ammonia nitrogen related to fumigation. Also, pH. The pH is higher in fumigated treatments compared to not fumigated treatments. So this is an interesting graphic here. I want to take a second to explain this graphic. This graphic is comparing fumigated soil to not fumigated soil in these cucumber treatments. So when you compare fumigated to not fumigated, you can see significantly enriched and significantly reduced. This is a bacterial species. So again, you see fumigation, planting, and harvest. And related to this time series, something that should be apparent from these ovals that are proportional to the numbers of taxa that are significantly enriched and significantly reduced, there's a looks like a response to cultivation practices. So at planting, there's an enrichment of bacterial community species, and at harvest, there begins a massive reduction. Relatively. So these are actually fairly small numbers. And remember, I took only those OTUs that were assigned to the genus level in bacteria. So this removed a lot of other noise. I was trying to cut to what's going on here and what can we know about some of the biology that's already published in the literature, and what's significant, what's not significant, and sort of cut to the chase in a matter of fact way. So what we have here is a transition from talking about bacterial communities, which are, there's actually a fairly small response, and you see it's a response to cultivation, to a fungal community response. The bacterial community, you can see, wasn't quite diverse between treatments. It's not different between treatments. You're fumigated in black, not fumigated in the gray. The fungal community, however, there was this difference between diversity. Your fumigated treatments had a much greater diversity. So this is a similar plot, so hopefully you're familiar with this plot now, but proportionally, you can see following fumigation, a large community responded to fumigation, and relatively few species were significantly reduced, relatively large were enriched. And this got pared down through time to what I like to consider as a late successional species. So you start off with R-selected, quickly growing, depleting resources species that are responding after a disturbance, and you move into K-selected species, which are they're more established. And I think this is important for the disease control that you see later in the growth of the plant. This is another kind of different plot, and this isn't anything scary, because what you can see here is you've got a bunch of different time points, and a question is which species are frequently occurring throughout these time points. That's a valid question. Which species are reoccurring? And this plot shows species that are reoccurring greater than or equal to 4 instances out of these several time points here. So you can see fungi are enriched, quite a large community are enriched, and relatively no bacteria are enriched greater than or equal to four instances throughout this time series. And this single species is reduced. None are reduced significantly throughout this time series, at greater than or equal to 4 instances. And so we took a look at what's going on here, and you can see in this clade of this particular genus, Mortariella, that this particular species here is significantly reduced by these triangles showing reduction. This one is significantly enriched, showing its enrichment throughout the time series here. You can see day 7 through 92 here. And so I just have a couple minutes here to finish up with some conclusions. What we can see here is we can see a large fungal community responding, and these particular species that are responding, we can look at their biology, and they're saprophytic, similar to that of the pathogen. So I believe they're filling niche space. It's difficult to tell that for sure from this study, but this provides a foundation to look at certain species and look at their roles in the pathogenic process that may not be pathogens themselves, but they maybe support the pathogen process. So, with that, I want to take just a minute and recognize the funding sources. This was a unique collaboration between Dr. Warren Dick of Ohio State University and Dr. Qirong Shun of Nanjing Agricultural University. And my advisors for this particular project, Dr. Richard Dick and Chris Taylor. Also, Dr. McSpadden-Gardner had a major influence on my early research. And my friends and colleagues, Aditi Singupta, and everybody at Ohio State University and Nanjing Agricultural University, great collaborators. So with that, I'd like to ask for any questions. That's a great question. So putting the amount of fumigant in... The question was putting the amount of fumigant into perspective. So the amount of fumigant, basically about 4 liters of anhydrous ammonia were released into about 60 square meters of plot space. And that was every day for 20 days.
Every day
for the 20-day span, we fumigated with about 4 liters of anhydrous ammonia. Also during that solarization process. That was a good question.
So that was 80 liters in 12
Yep, exactly. Yes.
So you showed that the mitigation works to reduce these incidents, but were you able to recover the, you know, from your IT sequence data, were you able to recover the certain factors, especially in the later time of the...
That's a great question. And in this first year, we had the time series, and we only did 3 replicates because we're doing many days of time series. And we didn't actually recover any fusarium oxysporum that was identified down to the subspecies level of the pathogen. So there was some fusarium, oxysporum, but there wasn't any, and it wasn't particularly different, but it wasn't significantly different between treatments. And so that's why I think there's sort of a microbial, like there's some niche space being filled and probably in competition with this pathogen.
So yep. Is this an experimental thing or the growers actually using it?
This is an experimental thing. So this was an attempt because there's some other fumigants available, but there's high population densities in China, and some of these they're useful in the U.S. where you have to be far away from schools or something to be able to apply these. But anhydrous ammonia, it's broadly available. A lot of farmers know how to use it, have experience using it, and so it's a little bit different than sort of an exotic kind of fumigant.
One more.
I'm just curious approximately how many OTUs you were seeing when you're talking about
numbers. Yeah, so as far as numbers of OTUs, I wrote that down for reference, and we're looking at so for fungal OTUs we're looking at about 90,000 OTUs. So using USearch it's really conservative. So we got 90,000 there and about and a couple thousand in the bacterial. Yep.
All right, thank you.